Morning everyone, welcome. It's the 100th show in the Fendrian Cast series. As promised, we'd get to 100. First things first, we are going to have a break after now getting to 100. I'm not sure when we'll be back, but there's a lot of stuff going on in terms of moving and various other bits and bobs that need 100% focus. So this will be the last Fendrian podcast for a period of time. What that period of time, as I say, it will be, I don't know. So thank you for tuning in over the past 99, and stick with us for this 100th episode, in which we obviously have a little review of the racing, local, national, internationally. And it's finally, although today wouldn't indicate it, we saw some little signs of spring at the weekend. It was great to be out. Actually, physically being outdoors without three or four coats on was a real major bonus. The cold and the rain's back today, of course. We couldn't be lucky enough to have a decent weekend and some nice weather in the week. But with the clocks changing, I think we'll see the road starting to fill up a bit with cyclists, which will annoy motorists, I'm sure. But hey, that's life. And we'll be in a position to start to see the season evolve. And I think it will be interesting to get a perspective on what happens when a few more of the local races start. The first round of the local handicap series happened at the weekend. And that was out at Southwark, I believe. And we're getting towards another 3-4 weeks, and all of the weekly tens will begin to start with Clarion and St Ives and Peterborough, and Kingscliff, of course, starting theirs, which will be good. So it's starting to pan out into a bit of a season. All we need now is the sunshine, and then we are going to be happy. Fingers crossed. Elsewhere, it's been quite a busy week. Despite there not being a monument, we've had that period of rest between Milan-San Remo and the Belgian Classic starting. We did have E3 and the Hans Arme, and we had Quickstep pretty dominant in a week where, you know, it's important that they start to get a bit of form ahead of the big race of the year for them, the Tour of Flanders, coming up on Sunday. And they did. The big one of the week was Gent-Wevelgem on Sunday, which pretty much tore the form book up. It's always pretty, considering that circuit, how that circuit... excuse me. I've got rain in my lungs. Considering how small and tight that circuit is and how quite a bit of it is sort of urbanised, actually it always produces a pretty exciting race, which it did. The riders going up the Kemmelberg and various other climbs. There was a long breakaway that had been out for most of the day, which did a fantastic job, and actually quite a few of the riders, especially the Roompot ones, got to the finish from that breakaway. The counter-attack kind of came not on one of the cobbled climbs, but on a section of crosswind that was made famous in previous Gent-Wevelgems for the year that Jürgen Rolantz was on that long break, and in the really bitter crosswinds that blew Geraint Thomas off his bike, and Luca Paolini finally won just before his career ended in controversial circumstances, shall we say. So it was a good race. That little circuit, they came together, they broke apart. Finally, the group with the right composition. I think if there's a group in a Flemish Classic that's got Van Mark, Sepp Van Mark, Greg Van Avermaet, Thijs Benoot, and then Peter Sagan in it, that's generally going to go to the finish. Throw in, you know, like Phil Gill and a few others, and you're in a really good position where the majority of teams behind don't chase. The only teams that tried to get across to that break were Astana with Het Volk, or Het Nieuwsblad winner Michael Valgren, and they were trying to bring themselves across to the group, and they had Alexander Kristoff as well, who's recovered well considering he was sick in Paris-Nice and not enjoying the weather despite being from the Scandinavian part of the world. So yeah, it was a really fascinating finish. They didn't get closer than a minute to the big group, which was a shame for them, but it was a really really positive advert for racing, and it was nice to see riders without leg warmers and arm warmers on. So really exciting. Whether the Tour of Flanders, now that it seems to be supremely hyped, can live up to the semi-classics, which seem to be more exciting, less controlled, we will see. interesting to see ahead of Flanders, the likes of Arnaud Démare going well and getting in that front group. Van Mark had a little attack, so there's plenty of favourites for Flanders on Sunday. You just hope that the plenty of favourites for Flanders on Sunday means that they'll all race each other rather than they'll all try and cancel each other out. We will see. Last year's Tour of Flanders was a rip-roaring success. This one will be interesting. I think they'll be a lot more guarded on the Muir, the Gerardsbergen coming as it does quite a long way from the finish. Last year, you know, the teams were able to rip it up and put Sagan in a bit of difficulty. I'm not sure that they'll get away with that this time. As far as I can tell, you never know. He might get caught out by the same move twice. It'd be particularly dumb if he did. It's very interesting to see, despite not riding that well, Sagan managed to hang in there and just nip round Elia Vivior, just nip round, I think it was Laporte, to accelerate away, and he got enough of a gap that, despite how fast Viviani finished, once he got out of the little box that he was in terms of riders around him, he couldn't quite make it up to him. And Viviani was devastated at the finish. There was floods and floods of tears, which is sad. But that's bike racing, isn't it? I suppose you've got to lose some to win some. Viviani may well be a factor in Flanders this Sunday. I think they'll be all in for Gilbert, though, maybe. Terpstra's going well. So it's a whole plethora of riders that could win it. Elsewhere, the Tour of Catalonia finished with its another nice little urban-type circuit, but with a nice little kicker in it, a nice, as Carlton Kirby would say, up to Montjuïc and the Olympic Stadium in Barcelona. It was a fantastic finish. It was kind of tarnished a bit by the bad crash that took down JJ Rojas and Egan Bernal. But having said that, it was still a pretty good race. Simon Yates won. Valverde won the overall. Valverde won the overall without that much challenge, to be honest. You have to say that the weather has played quite a big part in dictating what happened in the Tour of Catalonia, because there were three shortened stages due to the weather. I'm not saying that they would have managed to have dealt with Alejandro Valverde anyway. He might have extended his lead in the higher mountains, but I suppose we won't ever know, will we? And I suppose that's potentially that's a question mark over that. And it's also high mountain work and miles and things like that that he's not actually now, or any of the riders in Catalonia aren't actually going to get. So if we suddenly get a decent snap for the Tour of the Alps, then, you know, those riders will get the benefit of a bit more high altitude work, all building up for the Giro, the Tour and so on. So yeah, that is our whistle stop tour of the week in cycling. Obviously Flanders coming up this weekend. It's difficult to know what to say, really. I've enjoyed doing 100 podcasts. We've only had about 4 or 5 weeks off in that period. We've managed to keep going through the winter and various other challenges with providers and all of that kind of stuff. And it might be that, you know, give it a few weeks, I might fancy carrying on. It might also be that we don't. The website will still be going. There'll still be comment and content on there. Maybe we'll just go back a bit more to the written word rather than the spoken word for a little while. So yeah, all it remains to me to say is thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the Tour of Flanders, and fingers crossed we all speak again soon. Take care.